We're now in the middle of Sfiras Omer, and there is a connection between Sfiras Omer and Shemitah and Yovel that's discussed in this week's Sedra. But the main focus will be Sfiras Omer in the share today. Now, there was a custom, the Tor and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Tzadik Gimel mentions that there was a custom not to do work at the nights of Sfira. And a number of reasons are mentioned, but they really, all the reasons fall in two categories. The first reason is because, and we know in Sfiras Omer, these are days of mourning, of avelus. We're not allowed to have weddings, not allowed to take haircuts with certain limitations. But because the students of Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students, and they died during this period of time. So this was a period of mourning. There is a machlokas, all kinds of different opinions. I don't want to go into all the shitos now, because that would be a shear in itself. But whether they stopped dying in Lag BaOmer or they died throughout the duration of the Sfira, or they died throughout the duration of the Sfira, but not in every day. Whatever it is, these were days of mourning because of the students of Rabbi Akiva who died. And apparently there's a medrash that says that they all died before Shkia. I don't know that they all died before Shkia, but it seems that there was a tendency for them to die before sunset. And so if you take the Medrash literally, so their burial took place after sunset. They would take the Aronos or the bodies of the students of Rabbi Akiva to bury them. And the halacha is that when you have a body to be taken out to be buried, and when you're actually burying it, so the people of that town should refrain from doing halacha, should refrain from doing work. And because of that, the custom established, and it is very difficult to understand, but the custom was established that we should not do work. Now, this custom really is not really practiced much these days. And that itself is a question. I'm not sure that I'm... The question is, we don't see that people hesitate from doing work during the first part of the night when Sfiras Omer is supposed to take place. And some say that if it's based on the students of Rabbi Akiva who die, work shouldn't be done the whole night. So it seems that this custom is no longer observed. Perhaps the reason it's no longer observed because it's identified with the halacha that when there is a body to be buried, so we're not allowed to do work. And for whatever reason, that halacha is not practiced today. Some say when you have large cities, that it doesn't apply. So apparently the custom, and this is just an assumption on my part, I didn't see it anywhere, but my assumption is that it was to identify the evening of Sfira with the evenings of the burial of the students of Rabbi Akiva. And since And since the halacha that of refraining from work when a burial is taking place doesn't seem to be the general practice today, so the basis for that custom also cease to be relevant. So that perhaps could be like a limud zchus as to why this custom ceased to continue. But in any case, there was a custom not to do work because of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva who died. And the burial took place. But other reasons are given also. The Torah mentions that reason. Then he mentions three other reasons. But all of the other reasons are based on Xeris Akasiv, are based on Psukim. One it says, because it says Shabbos Shabbosos, and Shabbosos is identified with refraining from work. And also, another reason is because the Torah employs similar expressions between Sfiras Omer and Shemitah. And in Shemitah, we refrain from work. Avodas Karka, we refrain from working. We refrain from working on the land. Agricultural work is prohibited. Now, we have to understand this. We have customs. It's based on Xeris and customs. And so much so that even today, so you can say, a custom ceased to exist. The custom doesn't continue. But how is it that we have a custom based on Xeris and custom? What is the idea behind it? I'm just thinking, this is just a thought that I might have. There is a dispute. There seems to be a dispute. Not everybody says there's a dispute. But the Maritz Chiel says that there is a dispute between the Ritva and Rosh Hashanah. It seems that the Ramban, and I think there's a possibility, the Maharal seems to imply that Rashi held that way also, and the Ramban, regarding mitzvos the Rabbanan. Now, we very often, the Gemara mentions a pasuk to associate a mitzvah the Rabbanan with it. Even though it was something that came, that was instituted by the Chachamim long after the Torah was given, but they associated with a Xeris HaKasav, with a Pasuk. The Maritz Chiya says that according to the Rambam, it's not because of the pasuk that they instituted that takana, that rabbinic practice. After all, what's in the psukim, that's mitzvos d'oraisa. Those are mitzvos of the Torah. But because in those days, Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, and certainly the Takanas Chachamim, there was no text that was used. And people were well-versed in the Torah Shebichsav. So in order to remind people of the Takanos, of the laws that the Chachamim instituted, they sometimes associated the takanos, the rabbinic direction, the rabbinic laws, with Psukim the Torah, even though there might not have been a true actual connection, but just to serve as a reminder, it was an educational tool. However, from the Ramban, it appears, and the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah is very strong about it, the Maharal is almost on fire about it. They say that no, when the Gemara associates a pasuk with a rabbinic law, it's indicative of the fact that the Torah gave over the power to the Chachamim to make this rabbinic law. In other words, the Chachamim, the sages, cannot just make rabbinic laws at will. They had to see that the Torah empowered them to do that. And that's an asmachta. That's the shita of the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi, when he discusses about Shofar, seems to say that way. And the Ramban, in a number of places, seems also to perhaps have that opinion. So we could perhaps suggest, but not every suggestion or empowerment that the Torah gave over to the Chachamim, gave over to the sages to enact rabbinic laws, did the Chachamim use. It was used only on the basis of the need of the time. We find at different times, there were different takanos. And so we have to say that perhaps that the Gaonim, even post-Talmudic scholars, had this opinion of the Ritva of Rashi, that there was the Torah sometimes empowered the Chachamim to make certain laws. And even though the Chachamim chose not to make some of those laws, but perhaps because of the need of the time or for whatever reason, the later Chachamim saw that what is mentioned in the Torah, which empowered the Chachmei HaMesorah, the sages of the Talmud, to make such laws. And even though they did not make those laws, some of them, because of the needs of the time, might serve as a basis to institute certain customs. So when the Torah, when there are similarities between words that imply that Spiros Omer could be identified, the counting of the Omer could be identified with not doing work or not being allowed to do work. But the Chachamim didn't institute it. They didn't institute those laws. Nevertheless, it served as a basis for later generations when the Chachamim, the sages of the later generations, thought that these practices would serve the needs of the time to be the basis of customs that they instituted. Consequently, at least during certain periods of time, the custom, but it was only instituted as a custom, the custom of not doing work at the time of Spiros Omer, at the beginning of the evening, was instituted on the basis of Psukim that Chachamim never used, that the sages never used in making takanos, in making rabbinic edicts. Okay. Now, so we have two types of reasons that were given for the custom that developed not to do work at the evening of Sfiras Omer, the nights of Sfiras Omer. And as I mentioned, this does not seem to be a prevalent custom today. One reason is based in a sense that because of the burial of the students of Rabbi Akiva that took place almost 2,000 years ago, and that took place at this period of time. And the other reason, because of the psukim that served as a basis for refraining from doing work when spheres counted, Now, and the Taz suggests that there is a difference between the two types of reasons. The Taz says that if we say the reason is because of the students of Rabbi Akiva who were buried at that time, so then the halacha is that the custom, I should say, the custom should be that the whole night of Sfiras Omer, of the counting of the Omer, the whole night of the counting of the Omer, one should refrain from doing work. However, if we say that it's based on the psukim that compare Sfiras Omer, that refer to Sfira as Shabbosos, as refraining from work, or to compare it to Shemitah, to Yovel, when you weren't allowed to work, agricultural work was prohibited. So then it is only prohibited until you count the actual Sfira by custom. It is only prohibited until you count the actual, Sfira, until you count the Sfira. In other words, if somebody counts Sfira the first moment of the night, so in accordance with that custom, he would be allowed, if it's based on Sukkim, he counts the Sfira, he can do work. But if it's based on the students of Rabbi Akiva dying, then the custom was to refrain from doing work the whole night. Now the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar Tzion, he has a lot of trouble with this. And he says that it seems to him, it's very interesting that he says it seems to him that even if it's based on the students of Rabbi Akiva dying, the custom should only be for the duration of the time. For the duration of the time that it would take to do a burial. So we have, and it seems that the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar Tzion, is very logical. But we could say, you know, that Rabbi Akiva had so many talmidim and so many died each day. So maybe the burial started at the beginning of the night, but it stretched throughout the whole night. That's a possibility. However, I should point out that from the expression of the Torah, it appears that the Torah's opinion was that regardless of the reason, not like the Taz, regardless of the reason, the custom of not doing work was the whole night. So in other words, it seems to be three different practices that existed. According to the Mishnah Berurah, Shaar Tzion, today, like I say, almost no one observes any of this. But according to the Shaar Tzion, so it was only at the very beginning of the night, either until Sfira was counted or the amount of time it would take to do a burial, then that the people refrain from doing work. According to the Taz, if it's based on the burial, so it should be all night long. But if it's based on the psukim, and the psukim focus on Spiris Omer, on the counting of the Omer, so it should be for the duration of the time until one counts Spiris Omer. It varies from individual to individual. And then, and if from the expression of the Torah, a person could argue, it seems that the Taz did not want to read the Torah that way. But the simple reading of the Torah seems to be that it was the whole night, irregardless of what the reason is. Now, we have to understand, why should it have been all night? I suggested one explanation, because so many Talmidim died. Well, first of all, it seems from the Gemara and from Rashi that the Talmidim were spread out all over Eretz Yisrael. So it's not that all the Talmidim were buried in one cemetery. It's not that they were all buried in one cemetery. So in all probability, there was a few in different cemeteries. In those days, there were a lot of cemeteries, Jewish cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael. But even putting that aside, we're not burying anybody. We're just trying to re-experience. And we re-experience, and perhaps this was the argument, he doesn't say explicitly, we re-experience or re-experiencing the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. Perhaps it's for us to feel that the loss of 1800 years ago still has an impact today, as if it just happened today. Perhaps it's to have an impact on us, what it means to lose Talmidei Chachamim, young Talmidei Chachamim, who represent the future of the Jewish people. But certainly from that perspective, just waiting the duration of the period of time that it takes to bury one person would have been enough. So we have to understand why people suggest that according to the opinion of the Rabbi Akiva, the opinion that is based on the students of Rabbi Akiva who were buried at night. So it has, you have to refrain from work the whole night long. Now, as far as the Torah, who seems to say that according to both reasons, it's the whole night long. The expression of the Torah is Matsasi Kosa Minchal Lasos Mulafu Pesafaratseris Meshkias Achama at Shachris Mishum Tamidi Rabbi Akiva Shemesu Samach Lishkias Achama Vinikru Afishkias Achama Bahayu Ambetel Mulach Al Ken Gazu Shalolaso Simcha Beitayan Vinoagim Hanashim Shalolasos Malacha Mishatishka Chama, but Ocha Anu Sofer Maomer Achashkiyasachama, Uksiv Sheva Shabbosu Tumimos Tiyena. So it seems from the Torah that it applies to both reasons. He just says till Shacharis, and then he gives the two reasons, and he doesn't make a differentiation as the Taz does. But we could say that, in other words, it's for the duration of the period of time that Spheris Omer could be counted. It's not dependent on when I counted the Omer, but the duration of the period of time that the Omer could be counted. Okay, so now, then there's another problem, because we know who's having Lag B'Omer now. And many people have the custom that they only know Agabelus, they only mourn until Lag Bomer or Lamedalid Bomer. Ashkenazim, it's 33 days. Others are 34 days. Many reasons are given for it. But the basic reason, even though other reasons are suggested, and some say, what's the reason for the holiday of Lag Bomer? This week is the holiday of Lag Bomer. A number of reasons are given for the holiday of Lag Bomer. The Chasam Sofer, even though there seems to be Rashis that seem to imply differently, the Chasam Sofer says, because it was at this time that the man began to fall, that the Jewish people started receiving man in the desert. And we know the foundation of Sfiras Omer is the Jewish people leaving Egypt and going to Har Sinai, going to Matan Torah. And it was during that period of time, they went for about a month, that they had matzahs that they made in Mitzrayim. But ultimately, the matzahs that they baked in Mitzrayim were eaten up. And then they complained to Moshe. And then the man came from heaven. So the Chasam Sofer suggests that Lag Bomer, it certainly happened around this time, but the Chasam Sofer suggests that that's the holiday of Lag Bomer, because that day is identified with the man falling from heaven. So that's the reason that it's not a popular reason. It's not a reason that I was taught when I was in elementary school. And it's very interesting. Most of the poskim, when they talk about why Lag Bomer is a holiday, so they say Lag Bomer is a holiday because Be'ezet Tam Sheyiyah, for some reason. It's kept a secret. Then another reason given for the holiday of Lag Bomer is because the students of Rabbi Akiva, either Lag Bomer or Lamedal Bomer, they stopped dying on that day. So that's the reason that Lag Bomer is observed as a holiday, to commemorate the fact that they stopped dying. And others give the reason because there were those that were very much opposed to that reason, because that's the yard site for Shimon Bar Yochai. And he going into heaven is seen as some kind of festive occasion. The Chasam Sofer and others talk very strongly against that. They say when someone like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai dies, one shouldn't celebrate. Could be that this idea of celebration, which apparently has a foundation in the Zohar, was the basis for the Hasidic custom that now has been, is now being observed by many in the non-Hasidic community as well, to make a kiddush on the Shabbos of a yard site. So, but the reason that's suggested in the Sfarim, I would say up till 200 years ago, is the main reason seems to associate it. There are others who would say that's when Bar Kokhba started his revolt against Rome. But the main reason given in Sfarim, like I say, most Sfarim just say Me'ezet Tam Sheyiyah. They want to hide the reason, whatever it is. But what it's usually associated in the Sfarim, and when I say Sfarim, I'm not talking in the last 200 years, but it's usually associated with the students of Rabbi Akiva stopping to die. So, and because of that, when it comes to the morning practices, many people have the custom that we stop the morning practices on Lag BaOmer or Lag Medalet BaOmer. But when it comes to the custom of not doing work, sphere at night. So when it comes to that custom, there, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, they don't mention anything about Lag BaOmer, Lag Medalet BaOmer. When it comes to the custom of not taking a haircut, not having a wedding, they mention Lamed Gimel BaOmer, they mention Lamed Dalet BaOmer. But when it comes to not doing work, Yom Kippur, not doing work during the Sfiras HaOmer, during the Sfiras HaOmer, not doing work at night, they don't mention that custom is only until Lag BaOmer or until Lamed Dalet BaOmer, or only on the days that we observe Avelus, we observe mourning. They don't mention any of that. It seems the simple reading of the Torah and of the Shulchan Aruch is that even if you observe the morning for only part of Sfira, as is the general custom, some observe for Lamed Gimel BaOmer, some observe for Lamed Dalet BaOmer, some observe from Rosh Chodesh Iyar till close to Shavuos. But when it came to the custom of not doing work because the students of Rabbi Akiva died and were buried at that time, they don't make distinctions. Some of the poskim suggest that perhaps we could say the same thing. The Mishnah Brura mentions that also in the Shaar Tzion. But the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch and the simple reading of the Torah does not indicate that way. Now, we could understand it, perhaps, with something that I heard last night, actually. I was learning together with a number of my friends, and one mentioned, Dr. Kenigsberg, David Kenigsberg, he mentioned that the Maharal says that until Lag BaOmer, the students of Rabbi Akiva became infected with Asker. We went through an epidemic. But after Lag BaOmer or Lamed Dalet BaOmer, no one became affected anew with it. But the people who had the epidemic beforehand continued to die until Shavuos. Continued to die till the end of Sfiras HaOmer. So, on one hand, we can celebrate Lag BaOmer. We do Avelus, mourning, extra stringencies of mourning until Lag BaOmer or Lamed Dalet BaOmer, when they were becoming infected with this disease. But even after people stopped getting Askara, but those who had it already continued to die till the end of Sfiras HaOmer. They continued to die till after Sfiras HaOmer. That means that they were buried till the very end of Sfiras HaOmer. And if they were very buried at the end, till the very end of Sfiras HaOmer, so then anything associated with the burial has to continue until the burial ceases to be. So we could perhaps explain it, except the Lashon. The expression is not does not appear that way. So now, I want to suggest, I have a number of possible answers to it. I'll suggest one of them. Let me just see what. One possible answer is that, as I've mentioned before, that the period of Sfiras Omer is Zeichel L'Churban. That's why the Baal HaMor says that the period of Sfiras Omer, why do we make Shechiyonu on Sfiras Omer? Because when we count Sfira today, we remember the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the Omer is identified, the Sfira is to remind us that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash today. Matter of fact, we say, HaRachman Yasil Lanu Abodus Beis HaMikdash Mukoma Beher B'Yameinu. In fact, Amemar, the Gemara says, Amemar money yame velo shviye, ama zeichel mikdashu. Amemar counted the days and he didn't count the weeks. And it seems my uncle says he felt that you shouldn't count the weeks. You have to make a difference in order to show that we don't have Sfiras Omer. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And even according to the Chachamim, which is our practice, that we count it. But it's to remember what we don't have. And why specifically during Sfira? So I mentioned a number of times in the last couple of weeks, because the Medrash tells us that the Jewish people, when they went out of Egypt, they said to Moshe, when are we going to get the Torah? When will we be at Har Sinai? When will HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself to us? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, in 50 days, so they counted the 50 days. So the counting of Sfira has its origin in the feeling of lacking Maimon Har Sinai. And I mentioned the Ramban all the time. The Ramban says that the Beis HaMikdash was the perpetuation of Har Sinai. The Jew coming to the Beis HaMikdash was coming to the perpetuation of Har Sinai. And Sfiras Omer, just that the Jews counted Sfiras Omer because they felt a feeling of something lacking, of Maimon Har Sinai lacking. So we count Sfiras Omer because we're lacking also we're lacking the perpetuation of Har Sinai. We're lacking the perpetuation of Har Sinai. So then when the students of Rabbi Akiva died during this time, when there was mourning during this time, and if I mean, you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and you look at the Torah, they died during Sfiras, they died from Pesach till Shavuos. They died from Pesach Shavuos, and they died until Lag BaOmer, or Lamed Daled BaOmer. So in other words, the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva in a sense reminded the Jewish people of the Churban. It reinforced the pain of the Churban. The students of Rabbi Akiva, they were the ones that everybody was looking forward to continuing the Masorah. The Beis HaMikdash was gone, but the Masorah continued. With the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Yavne existed. Torah continued. But, and the till then, the Beis HaMikdash, or near the Beis HaMikdash, that was, Beis HaMikdash was identified with Har Sinai. and the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who were all over Eretz Yisrael, who had seen to be the future of the Mesorah. So it wasn't just their death, but their death reminded us of the danger of maybe that the Mesorah, the continuation of the Mesorah, the continuation of Har Sinai, is going to be in trouble. So the death of Rabbi, even if Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim only died through part of that period of time, but to a certain degree, it's associated with the whole period of time. It's associated with the whole period of time. So perhaps that's the reason why the Shulchan Aruch, the Lashon of the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch for sure says that they died from Pesach to Shavuos, and that's the expression of the Gemara. They died from Pesach to Shavuos. And the Medrash says, according to one Girsa, Atros HaTzeres. They only died at the beginning. Doesn't mean that the Gemara had a different Girsa. It means the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva reinforced this idea that sense of lacking the Beis HaMikdash. It reinforced that idea. We see all the troubles that the Jewish people had throughout the generations. This is one of the big arguments. It should be identified only with Tisha B'Av. Well, whether it should be identified only with Tisha B'Av or not, it's a separate issue. But in other words, the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva, in a sense, reinforced, in a sense, perhaps strengthened the feelings of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And sometimes with the duration of time, a loss that we have, we don't treat as seriously anymore. But then something happens. So there is an identification. There is an identification with that period of time. So perhaps we could suggest that the Chachamim, they instituted the certain forms of mourning and not being Sameach during that first evening hours, the whole duration of time. Because even though perhaps Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim didn't die and those very last days, nevertheless, the whole period is identified and it's all seen as part of Zeichel l'Churban, as part of the Churban. Now, but I want to suggest another reason for it, and that is Chazal tell us. Now, Rabbi Akiva had his Talmidim, enormous amount of Talmidim. I don't know how he was able to give share to so many Talmidim, 24,000 Talmidim. How he was able, they were all over Eretz Yisrael. Okay, maybe that was a later period of time. But besides the Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva had, Rabbi Akiva, even though he wasn't the Nasi, there was a move at one point to make him a Nasi, but it was decided that he shouldn't be the Nasi. But he was the one who perhaps had the greatest impact on the Jewish people at that time. And in a sense, it wasn't just the Talmidim that heard Torah from him, who died from Askara, that were his Talmidim. but many Jews, perhaps who weren't even capable of understanding his shiurim, were his talmidim. You take a look today. You have Rosh Yeshivas. They have talmidim that attend their shiurim. Then you take a look at the Hasidic Rebbeim. And they have followers who are probably more devoted to their Rebbe than some of the Talmidim are to their Rosh Yeshivas. And to a large degree, they're also Talmidim. They're also students. And who was the one that supported Bar Kokhba? It was Rabbi Akiva. He was the one who proclaimed that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. There were Tanayim that disagreed with him. Although the Rambam at the end, it has to be understood, he says that Rabbi Kiva, v'chol chachmei doro, all the chachamim, apparently, at a certain point, they gave in to Rabbi Akiva. And he supported the rebellion against Rome. And it's not only that, but what was Bar Kokhba's goal? Bar Kokhba's goal was to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And in a sense, the fall of Bar Kokhba was the fall of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And where was Bar Kokhba's last stand, so to say? His last stand was in Beitar. And for many years, the Haruge Beitar were not buried. Their bodies lay there. Those who were killed in Beitar. The Brach of Hatov HaMeitiv was instituted in benching in the Brichas HaMazon. Because finally, after so many years, permission was given to bury the bodies of the Jewish soldiers who fought together with Bar Kokhba. And who was their spiritual leader? Their spiritual leader was Rabbi Akiva. So it's true. It could be that the Talmidim who heard the Shiurim of Rabbi Akiva, they were buried at the beginning of the night. But maybe the custom wanted us to take notice of the other Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, those who might not have attended his shiurim, but those that were his followers and so dedicated and so devoted to him that they joined Bar Kokhba in a revolt against the Roman Empire. And they were not buried. For many years. And maybe, just maybe, because to show that the war Talmidim, different type of Talmidim, but Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, though were not yet buried. Even after the time period elapsed, both at night and with the days, we still refrain from work at night to show there are still some Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that were not buried. And perhaps that's the reason that if it's based on the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva had to be buried, that's the reason we have to observe there was a custom not to work the whole night because they were ready to bury them. They just didn't have permission. They didn't have the ability to give respect to those other Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. perhaps, I want to suggest that perhaps those who sit and learn and those who fight the battle should get kavod ze lazeh. Each one is contributing. Each one is helping. And each one should appreciate what the other one is doing for them. And I'll just leave it with that. So, now, but then, the Torah gives another reason. And he says there's a special teres akasim. I don't think I'll have enough time to discuss all the reasons of the Torah. He says, because it says, Shabbos Shabbosos Tamimos Diyena. Uksib, Shabbos Shabbosos Tamimos Diyena. Meloshen Shabbos. From the expression Shabbos, refrain from work. What's the idea? Shabbos is refraining from work. Rest. How are we to understand this? What type of service across the business? There's an interesting Ramban in Chumash. The Ramban in Chumash says, well, let me start like this. There is a machlokes, everybody knows, whether to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And the way it's explained, I don't want to go into detail because we're short in time, but the way it's explained is Yontif is an os, and tefillin is an os. Shabbos is an os. Shabbos is an os. So we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. Shabbos is a sign. Yontov is an os. It's a sign. So we don't wear tefillin. The question is Chol HaMoed an os or Chol HaMoed is not an os? So there are a number of opinions. So the way it's explained, what is the os of Yontif? Is the os of Yontif if we say the os of Yontif is the mitzvos of the day, the special halachas of the day? So Chol HaMoed has special halachas also. Chol HaMoed, we have to sit in sukkah. Pesach, we can't eat chametz in Chol HaMoed. So that's the os. You don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. However, if the os is the isur melacha, the prohibition of doing work, so on Chol HaMoed also, there is limited forms of work. I don't want to go into it now, but there's limited forms of work that one is not allowed to do. And there's a disagreement. Is that a biblical halacha or is it a rabbinic halacha? So if it's a biblical halacha, so then from that perspective also, Chol HaMoed is an os because there's work that is prohibited. But if it's only a rabbinic halacha, so then Chol HaMoed is not an os and you have to wear tefillin. Mishkan Shiakov asks a question. Rashi's opinion is that work in Chol HaMoed, the limited form of work that is prohibited in Chol HaMoed, is the prohibition is a din d'oraisa. It's a biblical law. And at the same time, Rashi's opinion is that you can't put tefillin on. You can't put tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That you do put tefillin on in Chol HaMoed. So the question is, if the os is the mitzvos of the day, the special halachas of the day, so Chol HaMoed is an os, it's a sign. Just the Shabbos and Yom Tov is a sign. And if it's the prohibition from doing work, well, Rashi's opinion is that Chol HaMoed is also, there's a prohibition of doing limited forms of work. So how is it that Rashi's opinion is that you put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed? He says you can't do work on Chol HaMoed biblically. Certain forms of work you can't do biblically. Midiraisa. So I think the answer is very simple. The question is, by Chol HaMoed, what is the significance of Chol HaMoed and what is the significance of Yom Tov? Is it because we have a 7 or 8 day holiday? So the beginning of a holiday and the end of the holiday has to have special status? Or no? The purpose of Chol HaMoed is to connect the special days which are at the beginning, at the end. In other words, does Chol HaMoed get its importance and its significance from the first day of Yom Tov and the last day of Yom Tov? Or no? Chol HaMoed has its own importance. More than that, perhaps it gives importance to the first and last days. Now, there's an interesting Ramban. Of course, he isn't talking halacha. He's talking from a Kabbalah standpoint. So if we say that Chol HaMoed is to connect the first day and the last day, so Chol HaMoed has significance, but its significance doesn't come from itself. It comes from the Yomim Tovim of which it connects. So in order to be a nos, it has to have its own significance. Consequently, that's Rashi Shita. Rashi's opinion is, yes, work is prohibited with the rice on a biblical level on Chol HaMoed, but because of the Yom Tovim that it connects. Consequently, even though work is prohibited, and there are mitzvahs attached to it, but those mitzvahs that are attached to it is only because of the Yom Tovim. Consequently, it's not considered a nos. Consequently, you have to put on tefillin. That's how we could explain. That's, I think, and the Mishkan Shachar gives a different answer. It's late now. So this is the answer I think that we could give. Now, there's an interesting Ramban. The Ramban says, he's talking from a Kabbalah perspective, not a halachic perspective. But from a Kabbalah perspective, he says that the 7 weeks of Sfiras Omer are like the Chol HaMoed that connects Pesach, or the first day of Pesach, with Shavuos. He says Shavuos is the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach. Is the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach. In other words, we could suggest that this is the pshat. This is the explanation. This is the explanation of the this lashon in the Torah. The Torah says, why can't you do malacha? Because it says Shiva Shabbosos. It has to be 7 weeks of Shabbos, of refraining from work. That's certainly not the literal explanation, but that's certainly not the literal explanation for Shabbosos. But we have to refrain from work to connect Pesach to Shavuos. So since work was prohibited on Chol HaMoed and Midiraisa, perhaps. So in other words, the connections of the holidays that Chol HaMoed does is done by refraining from work and refraining from work. So the spirit, HaOmer, the spirit itself is what links Pesach, the first day of Pesach, with Shavuos. So in order to identify it from a Kabbalah standpoint, in order to identify, not a halachic standpoint, but from a Kabbalah standpoint, to identify as linking Pesach to Shavuos, that the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not in Torah. In order to do that, the custom arose, and from a Kabbalah perspective, that the counting of the Sfira should be done out of resting from doing work. Consequently, at the beginning of the night, we do not count, we do not do work, was the custom, until we count Sfira, because we want to show that the purpose of the Sfira is like Chol HaMoed, to link Pesach to Shavuos. That's how we can understand the other Shita. All right, there are more. It's late. I see someone wanted to know about Reb Shimon. Put on the thing about Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. I'll just say quickly, just because someone asked the question. The idea of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, if you look in the Chumash Tzam Sofer, the Shushakov, they're all very upset about the custom of Merom. This was before the tragedy that happened 2 years ago. Why? Because, first of all, they felt it was inappropriate to celebrate the death of, as I mentioned, of one of the Chachamim, but of one of the greatest of the Chachamim. But they also screamed because there was a custom to take expensive clothes and throw it in the fire. And they mention that it's true, by a melech, certain of his clothes, not the expensive clothes, but certain of his clothes was thrown in a fire when he died, was destroyed. It was done for reasons, whatever it was, I think that you have to understand what it is. The Romans, initially, their main fear was from people who had official positions. But the Chachamim, the teachers, they didn't have such fear of back. Tainli Yabna the Chachameha. They were scared. They didn't have trouble so much initially with the religious teachers. They didn't see them as being a conflict with the recognition of the leadership of Rome. In other words, like today, you have all kinds of leaders and you have teachers. And so long as there was no competition for the leadership of who the leaders of the nation is, so long as this recognition of Rome as the ultimate leaders, was no problem. But over time, they became to recognize that even when there's no real leaders, no kings, no whatever, nothing, over the generations, man malchei rabbanim, who assumed and who had the position of leadership among the Jewish people, were chachamim. And then Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, he talked against Rome. And that was seen as a capital offense. And there was a death penalty placed on him. But ultimately that was removed. And Reb Shimon Bar Yochai lived his natural life, his normal life. And to a large degree, he became the leader of Klal Yisrael. And perhaps the burning of the clothes is, even though it was done for different reasons, was to show, yes, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was no king. There was no king in Israel. No king in Malchus Beis David, and no king in Metzias. But even when Jewish leadership was removed from Klal Yisrael by the Roman authorities, Jewish leadership continued Man Malche Rabbanan. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was that leader. So perhaps we could suggest that that was the celebration of Lag BaOmer. The celebration of Lag BaOmer was that, in a sense, in spite of the leadership of Rome giving a death penalty, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai continued as the among the leaders of the Jewish people, Man Malche Rabbanan. And we take clothes, it's not his clothes, obviously, but we take clothes and throw it in the fire just to show that, and to identify him as being among the leaders of the Jewish people of Man Malche Rabban. Okay, we'll leave it here.
One question that we had, is it better to get a haircut on Lag BaOmer, or should you wait for within 3 days of Shavuos to have the haircut for the Yontif?
Depends what your custom is.
When we're supposed to get, you know, prepare, get a haircut for Yontif. I mean,
okay,
does 30 days be considered for Yontif or what?
Huh? Okay, you can take haircuts both days. Depends if you need it or not. That's okay. Depends if you need it. Yeah.
If anyone else has a question, please put it in the chat.
A person could ask that question before, if taking a haircut 30 days before, or less than 30 days before every Yom Kippur.
Okay. But since people don't have a, there's no date that people go get a haircut before Pesach.
All right.
It's not a.
Okay. You can take it both times.
And if you think about it, people look very good on Tisha B'Av because they took a haircut 3 weeks before, right before the 3 weeks. So they don't look like a veilim on Tisha B'Av.
Okay. Whatever makes you look better.
Okay. Entertain any other questions?
There is a custom take in honor of Lag BaOmer, but I would assume taking a haircut in honor of Yontif, if it'll make a difference, the way you look Yontif, so probably better right before Yontif. If it won't make much of a difference, then it doesn't make a difference. But if it makes a difference, then you should do it before Yontif or take it both times.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Have a good week.